Chris.
Marcus.
We're back.
We are back.
We are back. It is a little pocket awareness podcast. You missed us last week, but we're back to give you more great information, great quarterback breakdowns, what we do every single week, what we've been doing for almost 50 episodes. We've been giving it to you guys. So really appreciate everybody listening, all the new listeners. If we have any new listeners,
We have to. You've been getting a little bit too popular in the Twitter world for us not have a few people be checking this out.
Yeah, man. Just make him observations, viral. Bro.
He's going viral.
Just make him observations.
He's popular out there in the Twitterverse. Also popular just in the regular Raiders world too. You're doing a whole bunch of stuff over there with the Raiders.
Yeah. I mean, me and my man BD, we're doing some good stuff with the Raiders. I'm actually supposed to be on Raider Nation Radio tomorrow, which is going to be really dope. So
fantastic, Marcus. Fantastic. Awesome. So we're going to drop the podcast on them and they can listen to you live on radio.
Yeah, exactly. So, we're diverse over here, Raiders breakdowns for me and then you come back, you got, quarterback stuff with me and Chris. We're diverse. So make sure you follow us at ALPA_QB1. That is ALPA_QB1. Follow us. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. That's at King Manelos. That is at the Mark John NFL. That's me. At King Manelos is Chris, right? Then you make sure you follow us on Instagram, ALPA_QB1. Follow us there. And then, make sure you go to Apple and hit the subscribe button in Apple. And then you got Spotify too. Go hit up Spotify. Hit the download button. We're here. We're excited. We're excited for you guys to listen to this and check this out. So we're going to be going over, everything quarterbacks like we always do. We had a good slate, a good week. I think a lot of quarterbacks came back to life after 2 weeks of no defense. I think that happened a little bit this past week. But we still had some really good quarterback play as well. We had a benching. We had a benching that seemed to be there, inevitable. Which was a quick benching. it was quick. Yeah. We had Mahomes versus Lamar that didn't end up being as eventful as we thought.
I overhyped it, Marcus.
Me too, man. Me too. I overhyped it big time. And then Carson, you got Josh Allen. Well, we'll get to Carson Wentz too. We got Josh Allen, who's having a big season. Chris is one of the biggest Josh Allen skeptics there is out there, but maybe he's proven.
I'm not by myself on that one.
I know you're not. I'm not as big a skeptic as you are, though. I still gave him a little bit of more praise last year. Take a little bit of steps. You were just like,
okay. I wouldn't give him anything last year. You're right.
He wasn't giving anything. You're right. Try to figure out what the hell's wrong with Carson Wentz.
Got some questions.
Exactly. And then we'll go over some rookies and, we have our tangents. We're known for tangents. So make sure you guys follow us, subscribe, hit everything that you can. Twitter.
Facebook.
Facebook. Don't forget everywhere. Facebook too.
We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
A little pocket awareness.
Oh, just a little bit.
Just a little bit, Marcus.
All right, so let's get into it, Chris. Let's get into it. I know you're coming out high. Your Packers are scoring like 50 points a game. Everybody's just so happy.
My team, 3 straight weeks over 35 points.
My team couldn't move the ball at all.
0 turnovers.
My team can't stop the run. Can't move the ball.
my defense decides when it wants to show up.
Yeah.
Every once in a while.
But they show up sometimes.
They show up sometimes. Yeah.
They show up, you get a couple 17-9 games, A couple 17-9s. Mines are always, it's either we win 38-31 or we lose 31-16. It's never
– There's no in between.
There's no 17-9 win.
No in between.
It's not even a fun game to watch. I just want one 17-10 win. Just one 17-10.
Why would you want to do that to yourself?
It's just to see some good defense for us. You know what I mean? I just want just one time.
Listen, good defense is exciting, but bad offense is not.
Yeah, Yeah, you're right. All right,
bad
you're right,
offense is not exciting.
You're right. You're right. And we didn't see bad offense with Mahomes.
No, we didn't.
We did not see bad offense with Mahomes at all. And we did see a little bit of bad offense from Lamar in the passing game, but you know, it's okay. It's okay. The game ended up 34-20. The Chiefs ended up winning that game. It was pretty dominant performance from the Chiefs. To be honest, it was, as dominant as you can make it, you know? Hold on. Mm-hmm. Am I breaking up?
Mm-hmm. Am I good? I got you that whole way.
Okay, cool. I'm just making sure because I'm on side. It's moving slow for some reason. All right. So, you know, they had an excellent game from Patrick Mahomes. He threw for like over 380 yards.
The guy was just on another level, man.
He's just special. And this was when we talked about on the previous episode how he's just kind of, you know, dinking and dunking before, and then when you try to test him and try to make him throw, right? Or for some reason the Ravens wanted to blitz him, which I don't understand. But
well, that's the Ravens' defense, though. That's the Ravens' defense. They got one speed, and it's just go.
Yeah, you know, and
Patrick showed you that.
That's not smart, though, against Patrick.
No, it is not.
That was the bad game plan. Like, I don't care. I don't care what they say. You know, it's just not a good game plan at all.
The guy is just special. I mean, he was doing those backpedal dropbacks that you saw back in the 50s and 60s. And like on the touchdown pass that he threw, he backpedaled. That wasn't a 5 yard drop. That wasn't a 7 yard drop. That or five step or seven step. That was, he just backpedaled 12 yards, planted his back foot in the ground and just chucked it. And the ball was in the air for 55 yards. And caught at the 5 yard line and walked into the end zone like that. You, what are you gonna do against? How do you stop that?
I talked about this before, Chris. He's never had a bad game. That's what bothers me about him. Like, have a full bad game, please. Like, I'm tired of this. You like the Chargers game was basically just like the Super Bowl. The Chargers game where he had like three quarters, they struggled. They only had 6 points, but then the fourth quarter starts, and then here comes Mahomes rolling out to his right, throwing it into a double team with Tyreek Hill. It's perfectly placed to Hill. Then Hill's rolling into the end zone, and then the 2-point conversion throw was even crazier, and it was so close because he was just like he sidearmed it between like two guys. It was crazy.
The guy's just—he's a special arm talent. He's special with just how calm and collected he is on the field. Like, what was that? That fake jump pass, step up in the pocket, lower your throwing shoulder. The arm angle is not regular by any means, and that was a third, like the third and 10 too. Like,
yeah.
The stuff that he is able to do is just not – there's nothing normal and regular about it.
No.
It's a complete change to the game. And I'm right there with you. Like, we talked about this a few times. My biggest critique on him was, man, did I think he was just going to turn the ball over like crazy. I thought that he was going to rely way too much on his arm and that the secondaries in the NFL were just too fast and – you know, this, I thought this was a guy that was just going to be, my arm's so good, I can do whatever I want with the ball. And that's not how it works normally in the NFL, but his arm's so good and he can do whatever he wants with the ball. Like it's incredible. It's incredible to watch him. It's just every throw is you're doing a double take. It just doesn't make sense.
So the Ravens blitzed him 23 times.
23. I mean, did you say 23 or did you say
according to Pro Football Focus? Who knows how some of those geeks charted if they charted it correctly? But
you're gonna get some crap. You keep doing that, you keep doing things like that, you're gonna get a whole bunch of hell.
I'm sorry,
they'll definitely find your twiddle handle. You keep doing that stuff.
Who does, you know? Because I saw on the broadcast, it said like it was like 17 blitzes, it wasn't 23. But let's just go, you know, let's just go. That's my resource I got right here. Let's go to Pro Football Focus, right? He was blitzed 23 times, Chris. He had 19 completions. 250 yards. 3 touchdowns. His YPA was 11. Why are you blitzing him 23 times? And I know that's the Ravens. That's what they do. They blitz 50% of the time, which is crazy. And they have the corners in the back end to do it. But you can't account for some guy blitzing and him taking a 12-step drop. You can't.
No, you can't. I'll tell you what, Andy Reid did a hell of a job calling the game too.
Yeah.
There's so many weapons on the field, and who does he throw the ball to? The fullback. And who does he throw the ball to? The left tackle. What?
They're
punking people out there.
They're punking people. They're dominating people. They're dinking and dunking when they want to dink and dunk. They're throwing deep when they want to throw deep. Let me ask you this.
And by the way, they have a running game too.
And they play defense now. They haven't given up more than 20 points yet.
That's just so crazy. It's just so crazy.
Scary.
It's so crazy.
It's scary. It makes you kind of think, like, you know, I hate getting to, like, the undefeated stuff, which, you know, I hate the Chiefs, so I can't even really think about it. It's like,
They weren't even the team that people were talking about being undefeated this year. They were talking about the Ravens going undefeated.
Which is crazy. Like, have you seen the Chiefs? Like, I don't understand. But is it possible for the Chiefs to go undefeated? It probably won't happen.
It's 16 games. If they can do what they're doing now and keep the consistency going, and if the only teams like this stop themselves because they believe that they can turn it on and off whenever they want.
Yeah.
If Andy Reid can keep them turned on, the switch on, every game, I don't know how you stop them. Like, there's nothing that you can point at that says, here's their weakness, here's how you beat them. Because they're showing you this year, everything's clicking. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, it's 3 weeks. There's only 3 games on tape. So we don't know the whole story yet. I won't do it's way too early for me for that kind of a conversation. Just because there's so much time in the season left. There's just way too much time. The film that they're going to get over the next few weeks, there's just good defenses will find a way to keep them in a game.
Yeah, it's – man. I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of seeing it. I'm tired of the Chiefs.
That's your division.
I'm just tired of it. I can't blame you. I'm bothered. He signed a 12-year contract. Like, why couldn't you just be good? Like, you know, and I loved him as a prospect. You know, Chris, I love Patrick Mahomes as a prospect.
Yeah. You got him pinned right there at the top of your
I know, because I like to remind people. It's kind of like my reminder. But I loved him as a prospect.
I was definitely not as gung-ho as you were. I thought the man was going to turn the ball over so much more.
Yeah, and
I really did.
Yeah, it's just like, I'm just tired of it. Like, why'd you have to go to there? Why couldn't you go to the Bears? Come on, Bears. You know, why couldn't you go bother Chris?
Because that's not how the Chicago Bears organization works.
Why couldn't you go bother him, man?
That's not how the Chicago Bears organization works. They don't like to do good things. They like to put themselves in very awkward position. And I think that's a fair transition. We'll come back to Lamar. I think that we got a segment here that he fits in.
Okay.
Come back to and have a conversation about Lamar.
Okay.
But, you know, the Chicago Bears, Marcus, did a very bear thing this week.
I'm sure you got a kick out of it. See, this is why I like this. You're over here. You get to make fun of your rival. You get to laugh at him.
Well, I mean.
I'm over here stressed.
they did it. I mean, when you give up what you give up for a quarterback, the way that the Chicago Bears did, and the way that they did it too. One pick, Marcus. They moved up one spot. And what they got for all that mess was a whole lot of nothing. They got a guy that's now sitting on the bench. They got a guy that came into the league and could run. Mm-hmm. He's a very athletic person.
Yeah.
And he had a go-to in Cohen, whereas if everything fell apart in front of his face, just dump it off. Mm-hmm. And they had success one season.
Yeah.
And you know what's the best thing about that, Marcus? All the hope that I got to see on my social feeds from all my Bear fan friends that we got a quarterback. You got a guy sitting on the bench now, and now you got a guy that you're paying $21 million to step in, and he just so happened to run into the one team that loves to lose after being up by so much. That's an organization that I feel bad for, the Atlanta Falcons. Three games like that? Like that? They lost like that more than – not once, not twice. They did it in a Super Bowl too. It's impressive to lose games like that.
Yeah.
They're really impressive.
They're for sure curse-bitten franchise.
That is just impressive. But Nick Foles, I mean, he came in and he did what the Bears really needed him to do because of how much money they're paying him. The Bears needed that in the worst way. And you know what's really funny, Marcus? Mm-hmm. I may be able to crack some jokes right now because my Packers are 3-0. But those pesky Bears are 3-0.
Let me ask, do you trust Nick Foles? How much do you trust?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
I don't trust him.
We talked about this when he won the Super Bowl, and when he was that free agent, and we were talking about the contract that he was going to get. We knew what number he was going to get. We both agreed he did not deserve that contract. Mm-hmm. Because this is a guy who has success in reading one side of the field and not going anywhere else. He can't come through a full progression. He doesn't mm-hmm. do it. He never has. He never needed to. And he's got Allen Robinson out there.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you got a resurgence out of Jimmy Graham.
You know who he reminds me of? It's Daniel Jones. I feel like him and Daniel Jones are exactly the same. Don't you think so? They are both willing as hell to chuck it deep. And stand Absolutely. In the pocket and take a hit and wait for that deep ball to open and not care. They don't have big arms. Daniel Jones is way more athletic, right?
Well, he's also a little bit younger.
Yeah, he's still more athletic. I mean, I guess Nick Foles was a big-time basketball player.
Calling his shot, Philly special? Come on, the guy wants to get downfield.
You know, like he reminds. That's why I feel like Daniel Jones is really ceiling is now that he's seen him play.
I like that. I think that's the great analogy for Daniel Jones' ceiling.
Because I mean, that's basically what Nick Foles did last week. His game winning touchdown.
It was a beautiful ball.
It was a beautiful ball, but it was basically it was him standing in the pocket and then chucking it deep. Getting blasted. It was like the most ultimate Nick Foles type of play. Like, you just sit there and you wait. You don't care if the rush is coming. You don't care if the pocket's collapsing. And you just throw a hospital ball up there and it's perfectly placed for a game-winning touchdown. It was the most Nick Foles play.
I hated tweeting it, but man, I had to give him some credit. That was a beautiful throw.
Yeah, it was a big old hospital ball that lands perfectly right there for the game-winning touchdown. I mean, it's Nick Foles in a nutshell. I mean, that's what he did mm-hmm. in the Super Bowl, was throw hospital balls while getting crushed, and Nelson Aguilar catching it perfectly in the back of the end zone. That's basically or Alshon Jeffrey making him look good.
I mean, I don't think so. Everybody's excited right now about the Bears. If they win two more games the rest of the season, I'll be impressed.
I don't know. That defense is too good, man.
They got bailed out by the other teams.
They got bailed out by the other teams. He's a good offensive coach.
I can't go that far, Marcus. I'm giving him two more wins. I'm giving him two more.
Oh, man. Yeah.
All right. Hold on. You know what? I'll take it back. I give him three more. Six and ten.
Come on, man. They get no better than that.
Nope.
You guys have to worry about them, bro. They're gonna slow you guys down a little bit.
Oh.
They're gonna slow you guys down a little bit. Come on, Chris. They're gonna slow you down. It's early in the season. I know you scored 40 points a game, but let's
relax. You think the Bears defense is better than the Saints defense?
100%.
Really?
100%.
See, I thought that was a massive test, and thank God there were no fans in the stadium.
Oh, that was a big deal too.
That was a huge break. I take that for a big piece of why the win happened in New Orleans. I take that for a big reason that the Packers won in Minnesota as well, week one. No fans in the stands is huge for places like that.
Yeah.
Huge.
And, you know, Rodgers able to use his hard count. But, yeah, the Saints defense is not better than the Bears defense. I'll tell you that right now.
Okay. All right. Maybe there's a little bias on my side. It's very likely that
Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack are on the same team, Chris. Yeah. Robert Quinn and Khalil Mack are on the same team.
All right. Okay.
Like, that's all really right. All you got to know. I mean, Go ahead.
They got two really good pass rushers in Minnesota.
Look, Minnesota. Come on, Minnesota's not good, bro. They're not good.
Let's call a spade a spade. They got two fantastic rushers on that defensive line.
But Yannick is not Packers. Khalil Mack and Robert Quinn. Yeah, Yannick is a pass rush specialist. Yannick does not care about the run at all.
Well, that's true. The Packers also have one of the best offensive lines in football.
They do, but I'm just letting you know, man, that the Bears are not the Roquan Smith, bro. You know, Eddie Jackson. You know what I'm saying? I mean, Jalen Johnson from Utah, he's playing really well already. I don't think you should sleep on them. I think you're sleeping on them a little bit. You're a little high. You got, you know, the Packers scored 40 points a game. You're a little
Listen,
high.
I didn't even bring the Packers into it. I'm just saying
that offense
has a bigger ceiling.
I think it's clouding your analysis. That's all I'm saying.
They're winning games that they're not supposed to win. Let's just be honest here.
It's clouding your analysis.
Two of those victories are a little shady.
They're 2-0. They're 2-0 though without getting. They've started 2-0 with a terrible quarterback. Come on, man.
3-0. They got three wins there.
Yeah, but Nick Foles finished the last game. They should be 2-1 if they kept pitching. They'd be 2-1.
They should be 1-2 because that was a touchdown right there in Swift's hands.
Oh, that's
against
true.
The Lions. That was a touchdown. So,
which is funny. He hasn't played since Atlanta. Did you know that?
Really?
Yeah, he has like 8 carries all year. He hasn't played since. Oh,
heartbreaking.
Yeah, that's Matt Patricia. He's a terrible coach. Like, how does he still have a job? I don't get that. He still has a job. I don't get it. All right, Chris. Let's transition here. Let's transition to one of your favorite quarterbacks. I know he's your favorite quarterback in the whole league. Josh Allen, who's been balling for the
been
past. He's for the
been
past, but well. I mean, 3 weeks. Yeah, all 3 weeks, right? All 3 weeks he's played really well. I mean,
His last 15 games are very he's put up some numbers the last 15 games.
Yeah, he's
27 touchdowns, 4 interceptions.
He's really coming into his own as a quarterback.
I'm going to pump the brakes on you.
He's coming into his own as a quarterback. You know, I watched the Peyton Manning detail. He's still got some issues that, you know, Peyton Manning called out, but Peyton Manning sees stuff like Peyton Manning's talking about how he gives up his snap count because when he fakes his snap count, his hands are up. And when he actually takes a snap, his hands are down. And I wonder if Aaron Donald was getting in them.
See, you know, so here's the big thing for me right now. The Rams burned the Cowboys on a pass interference call, got a W out of it. Mm-hmm. And this week the Bills burned the Rams. Because that fourth down, Josh Allen threw just a screamer, just an absolute bullet, which should have been for this little 5-yard slant play. And the corner, I don't think he held on as long as that ref thought he did.
Yeah.
But that ball was not catchable. Not catchable. But they gave it to him. And they gave the Bills another chance. So here's another situation where are we talking about Josh Allen like this if they lose that game? Because they were up 25 points and they blew it.
Of course we aren't, Chris. Of course we aren't. Of course we aren't talking about they lose that
let's
game.
Let's kind of that's why I need you to just pump the brakes.
He's playing well. He's playing better.
I will agree that he's getting better in the same way that I think Cam is playing well. He's being schemed appropriately.
Which you are 100% correct on that.
They're not asking him to do things that he cannot do or that he does incredibly inconsistently.
Which shouldn't every coordinator do that?
Well, you would think so. And here's the thing. They're doing that this year. All of a sudden, it seems like coaching is actually a big deal. Like these guys are actually coaching their players and putting them in positions that'll you'll see success because it fits their build and their skills and what they're capable of doing. Mm-hmm. Where has this been the last 10 seasons?
I don't know, man. All the Eric and coaches are gone. There's a lot of young guys who are willing to. They've been watching like Bill Belichick and stuff like that. They've been watching guys coming up like that, and they are willing to bring somebody in, right, and then adjust what they do to what that guy does, which every coach should do, right? I mean, it just seems like common sense, but.
Well, a lot of what we're seeing, I think, also has to do with what we talked about at the beginning of the season or the beginning of our season, what we talked about in week one. Mm-hmm. A lot more short, quick routes.
Yeah.
And you've got these guys with some serious arm talent that can complete 5 to 8 yard passes. When you're not asking them to throw 10 to 20 and then occasionally go over the top with 20 plus, that's a different game.
Yeah.
But that's also because these guys are being told it's okay to use your legs. Like, this is a completely different era for quarterbacks. This is like Steve Young would love this NFL.
Yeah.
Like, you talk about a guy that was basically a pioneer for doing exactly what all these kids coming out of college are getting praise for. You got these guys that are they're getting college routes with what they were successful. Mm-hmm. One read, if it's not there, bail.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it should be. You get these guys comfortable. You shouldn't, like, why would you put Kyler Murray under center, you know? Like, it's just not smart. Like,
well, that's the NFL is transitioning. It's transitioning. I don't think you can't put Kyler Murray under center. You can't put Josh Allen under center.
Josh Allen was under center in college, though.
I don't have any faith with him in a three-step, five-step. I don't have any faith with him in those scenarios because that's when you put him under center, you're asking them to make progression reads.
Yeah.
Timing routes. I don't think these guys have consistency enough in those areas that you would see some success out of that.
Yeah.
You get him out of the pocket, it's a different story. If you want to put him under center, you got to run bootlegs. You got to run sprint outs. That's how you would have to do it, but that's not what they would do if they put him under center.
Yeah,
which it's exactly why you see everybody in shotgun now. These kids are just not they haven't been under center. They don't know what it's like to take a snap.
Yeah, I mean that's true. I mean you.
Herbert, God, did Herbert ever take a snap under center?
But he's under center right now. They got him under center.
Well, and if you watched Hard Knocks this year, that was one of the big things that they spent like 5 minutes on the episode where it's like. Now he's in the NFL.
Yeah.
And he's got to get under the center. Uh-huh. It's like these kids are learning how to take snaps for the first time ever. Here's where your hands go. Here's how it feels. Don't put a gap in between there.
Yeah. It was funny. Peyton Manning also pointed out that Josh Allen's feet are too wide while he's under center and that he's going to step on his guard's ankle one time and fall over.
Oh, yeah. And they're going to step all over him, too.
Yeah.
They don't know how to bend. Like, these kids are like 6 foot five, 6 foot eight, and they physically can't get under center because they don't know what to do with their feet.
Payman's like, yeah, I mean, like, I've done it before. And he showed a couple clips of him doing it. It was funny. And I think the whole breakdown, I mean, you should watch that, Chris, because it's funny. Like Josh Allen make a play, and then Peyton Manning like would talk about his mechanics and be like, well, but hey, you threw a touchdown, so it doesn't matter what I think. Keep doing what you do, Josh.
That's the whole thing. That was my whole thing with Cam Newton, with his athleticism and what he's capable of as just a pure athlete. Like,
yeah,
the mechanics on him have been just a monstrosity for forever.
Yeah.
Nobody cares when you're 3-0. Nobody cares when you've got 27 touchdowns to 4 interceptions. But you put 3 weeks together where there's 2 or 3 interceptions each game, all hell's going to fall down on these kids.
Yeah. And he still he still fumbles a lot. He had a couple turnovers that helped the Rams get into that game. And you know, he doesn't have
20 yards ball
security. He like you know
kept
he
running left. Backwards against Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and he even against the Dolphins, he had a couple of plays where he's just having the ball out, you know, like out it's a loaf of bread.
Oh yeah. There's a lot of mechanical issues with a lot of these guys. Yeah. I think to kind of stay on the subject of inconsistencies. This is where I think we saw some of that with Lamar. Do you think he was frustrated and he just got into his own head? Or do you think that there's some of the stuff that we were talking about? Man, it was really obvious he did not throw well outside the numbers. He did not throw well outside the numbers against the Chiefs. So that was our biggest critique of him, and it showed up. He had Hollywood Brown on a touchdown on the side, running down the sideline, and he tried to force it. He tried to put it just on a line to him instead of over the barn, and he looked frustrated. He looked incredibly frustrated.
Yeah, and I think a little bit with the game with Lamar, to be honest, is more about I really feel like he was pressing. I really feel like he thought that they have to beat the Chiefs. They never beat the Chiefs before. He's 0-2. He's 0-3 against Chiefs now. It's been 3 straight seasons the Chiefs beat them down. It's not like it's like a – I mean, the first time it was close, but the other times it was a beat down. Not even close at all, you know. And so I think it's a little bit of that too, that he was just pressing. Just pressing. And, you know, and I think some games Lamar's just going to be inaccurate. He's not a consistently accurate quarterback, right? It's not, you know, I think some games, quarterbacks that aren't fully elite quarterbacks, there's going to be inconsistencies every once in a while. And sure, I mean, Lamar can do everything with his legs and make every single play, you know what I mean? But at the end of the day, sometimes he's just going to have some inaccurate games. And it is what it is. I mean, I feel like the same way about Deshaun Watson. I think some days Deshaun Watson just doesn't look like the same guy that he looks some other weeks, right?
Yeah, I'll agree with that.
And that's what keeps him from being taking that step, next step to being fully elite, is him kind of just taking being more consistent week to week. Because, like I said, Patrick Mahomes is consistent week to week. Even Aaron Rodgers, a couple. I mean, he's been so consistent this year, but like even last year, you know, he was kind of up and down every once in a while. We have some games where you'd be like, okay, that's not the Aaron Rodgers I know. And that's kind of, you know.
Yeah, but the level of his inconsistency, I think, matches Patrick Mahomes' inconsistency level, where it's not like he's still going to get his numbers. It's just not going to come as easily as you were used to seeing it. Where with Lamar, man, everything just kind of fell apart on him.
Yeah, everything. He just struggled. He just struggled big time, man. And he's going to have those type of passing games. And, you know, the Chiefs have a really good pass defense too, man. If they stop the run, you know, you got to run the ball on the Chiefs. You can't pass on them. They got Tyrann Mathieu. Who knows what position he plays? He's a football player. That's what he's listed as.
Yeah.
He's everywhere. And he knows what you're doing, too. He knows your offense better than you do, just as good as you do. Like, he's everywhere, you know? And he's just a difference maker himself. Like, he is everywhere. They got Chris Jones. Those, for some reason, they got corners playing well. I don't know. I'm just tired of the damn Chiefs. I just wish they Where's the Chiefs from like 3 years ago when they couldn't play defense? Where's those guys at? Like, why are they playing defense now? Like, what's up with that? Like, Mahomes is supposed to like throw 50 touchdowns every year because he has to force the team to win. Like, can we get that back? I'm tired of his 26 touchdown Mahomes. No.
Listen, man, when you're winning, when you're winning, I don't need this. Things just click.
Everything I know, man.
Starts clicking. Everything starts clicking, and it goes on both sides of the ball. The impact a guy like Patrick Mahomes can have isn't just something that happens on the offense. It gives the defense a completely different swagger, too.
Yeah.
Because if they get a stop, they're like, well, we're going to score on this next drive, so you guys just screwed yourself up by not scoring against us.
And I will say this, Chris. I think a secret that nobody's really talking about with the Ravens right now is that they can't run the ball that well.
They're two different teams. They're two different teams. You get a 10-point lead as the Ravens, that's one deadly team. You get a 10-point deficit as the Ravens, that team is not the same in the slightest. They're two completely different teams. They don't know how to play from behind.
It's just interesting. You know, I'm gonna go look at these stats right here for this game. It's just interesting. Like, maybe it's just because I have Mark Ingram in fantasy and I'm frustrated about it. But you know, like they got. So I mean, Lamar had 83 yards rushing, right? But
the guy's a walk in 100 yards.
Exactly. Like, Gus Edwards had 39 yards. I mean, it was four carries, but that's I mean,
10 yards a carry, basically.
Exactly, but I mean.
If you're not sticking to it consistently, yeah, you gotta do more.
Mark Ingram only had 30 yards rushing on 7 carries, and J.K. Dobbins had 6 yards on 1 carry. Now let's go back to a previous week. Let's go back a little bit. Let's take a trip down.
You got like 250 yards in the week before, isn't it?
Rushing? I don't think so. That's what I'm trying to get back here. Hold on. Let me get a Russian. Let's just go back. So week two, I guess. See, week two, they had 213 yards rushing. But week one, it was mostly passing because Mark Ingram and J.K. Dobbins didn't do anything. So it's interesting. It's interesting that run game, if it doesn't work, like what – actually can they do, right? Everything's based around the run game. And a great example that I saw on Twitter, you know, Greg Roman, right? Great coordinator, had the great pistol with Colin Kaepernick, right? Great mm-hmm. pistol. He actually did a great pistol with Tyrod Taylor.
Mm-hmm.
But 2012, Greg Roman, right? Is a little different than 2014 Greg Roman. And now we're in another year. Our team started to figure out Greg Roman a little bit. Are they starting to figure out things about him? So, you know, things like that, you know, it's different, you know, because, you know, we used to call out Sean McVay, like he wasn't adapting, but obviously that Sean McVay is in the lab, like adapting because he's starting to get his offense going again. And they're averaging 30 points a game again and doing what they, and it kind of looked like they did 2 years ago again. Right, because he went in the lab and he adapted because you know they started playing that wide nine stuff that the Bears did to expose them, and they struggled ever since then. And then the Patriots did it again in the Super Bowl, and then you know teams started doing it last year at the beginning of the year, right? But you can't do that anymore because then he just started running power runs and he just started killing you up the middle. So it's all about adapting in the NFL. So we'll see how that goes for them.
Absolutely, we're gonna see how these teams can handle a little stress early in the season.
Just a little stress, right? A little stress. Nothing wrong with a little
stress. Let's talk about somebody else who's a little stressed out.
Oh, I think I know where you're going with this.
Mr. Carson Wentz.
Oh, he's up. He is frustrated. I think Eagles fans are calling for Jalen Hurts.
Marcus, did you see that in week two, at home, in an empty stadium, the guy in charge of the crowd noise booed the Eagles offense in week two, Marcus? They don't even have fans in the stands and they got their guy booing them.
Oh man, that's so bad. That is terrible, bro. I can't, like, And I saw that, but it's just awful. Now, I saw a stat that from a clean pocket, Carson Wentz has a passer rating of 68. That's no pressure. And, you know, I watched Carson Wentz this summer. And I watched five games. And he's an interesting quarterback to watch because, one, he's, like, super tough in the pocket, which makes him really, really fun to watch. But he's a really smart quarterback, and he always gets to the right read. He's great going through his progressions. Gate standing in the pocket. He knows the offense.
It's Big Ben-esque.
It's just when he throws the football. It doesn't always go where he wants it to go. and it's a consistent thing. Like, he's never been a high completion percentage guy. And you know, you used to think, and he hates checkdowns. He doesn't. That's not his.
No. He's gonna hold that all day long.
He's gonna hold it, and he's gonna try to make a play. Yeah. And he's gonna force it into coverage, and that's why he's throwing picks now. Because
that's why he gets himself hurt too.
Yeah, and that's how he gets himself hurt because he's always trying to make plays. But it also makes him fun to watch because he's so damn tough in the pocket, right? He's just a tough guy. But he's at the end of the day. I mean, you have to be accurate in the NFL. Especially being like him. I mean, I know he's athletic, but he's not like gonna run for 100 yards or something, right? He's gonna run when he needs to run, and then, you know, of course, he tries to run people open or stuff, like, for some reason.
Yeah. He still thinks he's as big as those linebackers.
Exactly, and you know, it's when you watch him, it's just like, man, well, damn, that's the right read, man. Nice job going through. Oh. That's basically what it's like watching Carson Wentz. Like, oh man, oh nice. Oh, look at the pocket. Oh yeah, that's the second read. Okay, go to your third. Nice, you found the lane. Oh, why'd you overthrow him? that's what watching Carson Wentz is like.
All right, okay. You're not gonna get any fighting out of me.
You know, and it has to be frustrating for Eagles fans because he has so much talent. You could tell he knows what he's looking at, which is a big factor in for quarterbacks. If you could know Absolutely. What you're looking at, right?
You just can't get it there.
And he'll find a hole. Like, if a guy lands in between a zone, he knows, like, when the linebacker split, okay, I got Zach Ertz right in the middle. He'll hit Zach Ertz, but sometimes he just overthrows Zach Ertz. It throws it.
It's just like wild. Yeah, it's wild. The guy's struggling. He's out of rhythm. He's 100% out of rhythm.
And honestly, I think there's a little beef. This is just me being, you know, Mr. Finding a narrative. Are you
antagonizing
here?
Antagonizing something.
I think there's a little beef between him and Doug Peterson. What do you think? I think there's a little bit of a riff. Like, there's, you know.
Do you think Doug's saying things in practice like Nick would have made that throw? Do you think that's going on?
I think
he's jabbing him with
what I've
burst
heard,
of quarterbacks past.
What I've heard a little bit is that Carson Wentz hates the offense.
Oh.
That he hates the offense. Which I think is a little crazy. I always thought Doug Peterson was pretty good play caller.
Well, I'll tell you what. They're going to get rid of Peterson before they get rid of Carson.
That is true, huh?
Carson's got a big deal, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's got a big deal. That was
he didn't even earn, right? He didn't even earn it.
He got a big deal there. I mean,
did he earn that?
Sure did. But so here's another piece of it. Offensive line is in shambles.
Yes, it is.
Who's he got on the outside to throw to? Rhaegar?
He's hurt. He's on IR. I mean, outside Jeffrey's always hurt. I mean, he's got Zach Ertz,
number two tight end, IR.
He's got
Goddard's done.
Oh, he got Goddard's done, huh? That is true.
Busted his ankle. He's out for at least 4 to 6 weeks.
See, what I hate
minimum.
That. Who do you throw to excuse though, man? I get it.
That's legitimate. That's legitimate. because these defenses can literally line up in their base defense.
Yeah.
And just be mean to you. They can just bully you because they don't have to do anything special to stop you.
Yeah, that is true. I guess that's the point. About. I just don't want to hear that excuse for him his whole career. I'm kind of like, they've been saying that for a while. And then they like hyped him up last year because he made the playoffs with those guys. He's a franchise guy. Look at him elevating his players. Look at him. He's a top five quarterback. He threw 4,000 yards throwing to no wide receiver over 500, and you know all that crap that I thought was BS.
His right side of his offensive line is decimated.
Yeah.
Completely and utterly decimated. Brooks and Johnson were two of the best offensive linemen in the game, and they're both out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you got
to. They didn't want to bring Peters back. They didn't want to. They didn't want him on the left side anymore. They had to bring him back. But the guy's like 90 years old playing left tackle.
But like I said, Chris, he's got that rating under a clean pocket of 68. So. We could talk about the pressure.
I got you.
Something's missing there.
That's what I was saying. So he might have a clean pocket, and his rating's not good when he's got a clean pocket. But when you're getting beat up all game long, and that pocket's not there the whole game, you're shell shocked. Like it might be clean, but you don't feel clean. That's going to beat you up inside your head. Your timing's going to be off because you're just expecting to be beat up the whole time.
Exactly. So, but you know, I'm just.
So I get it. The numbers are what the numbers are, but mentally, man, that's a different game when you're getting just toast, and you're caught by surprise that you actually have something happening that's supposed to happen in the first place. That's never a good thing.
Yeah, and I guess it's just more. I mean, I don't think that he's really earned any of the kind of respect that he's actually got. I think it's more of like a first round quarterback. Like Gardner Minshew has to perform this year, or he's getting dumped. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't matter if Gardner Minshew was taken in the first round, he would get every single chance no matter what happened. And I feel like that's how we treat a lot of first round picks. Is like Josh Rosen, Josh Rosen still has.
He never got a chance, man.
I know that, but I'm just saying, if he wasn't a first round pick, though, I don't think that people would feel like that he still could be amazing. If he went in the fourth round, he would be out of the league, right? So yeah. I feel like that's fair. Is that he was the number two pick in the draft, and since you're the number two pick in the draft, you still have a lot of talent. And people are going to try to ride with that. So I think it's a little bit with Carson, to be honest.
All right. I see what you're saying.
All right. So, I mean, Chris, we're almost at the hour mark, I think. Any other thoughts? Let's hit some rookies real quick. What do you think about Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert so far?
I got to spend a little time watching Herbert, and he's on the same – trajectory as Josh Allen right now.
Okay.
The guy has phenomenal arm talent.
Phenomenal.
But he just doesn't know what to do with it. I feel like there's still a lot of learning for him. And I think that, I mean, the Chargers are in the same place too. If it was up to them, Tyrod would be out there. Could you imagine what's going to happen here with Tyrod? The dude is just going in to get a little shot that he gets all the damn time, and then the doc punctures his lung, and he's gonna lose his job again.
Yeah, I think Herbert looks better than I thought he would look in a rookie situation. I'll say that I didn't think that he would be even look as good as he did against the. I didn't think so. Not year one, right, and not your first game. I didn't think he would look how he looked, but I mean, he still made some stupid decisions in that game. There's some dumb stuff.
And I mean, this past game,
yeah, go ahead.
He's playing Carolina, Marcus. That's like that's a top five draft pick team this season.
And he didn't get to the Chargers where he needed to go. And you know, he threw to Keenan Allen 19 times.
Oh, I would too. I absolutely would too.
And I'm so happy. Whoever I play Austin Eckler in fantasy, man, I'm losing because Austin Eckler had 11 catches. So he's throwing at two guys. It's like, man, don't let me play Eckler in fantasy, bro. That's annoying. But because he has Austin Eckler and he's just throwing dumb. He's basically, I'm going to throw it to Allen or I'm checking it down. Throw it to Allen, check it down. Throw it to Allen, check it down, which is not a bad formula for a rookie.
No, that I got him 300 yards in back-to-back weeks.
Yeah. And, you know, and this week he did. I thought the first week was a little bit of a mirage. I think this week he did play a little bit better.
I think he made a lot of mistakes.
He's going to make mistakes. He has bad mechanics and all that stuff.
Yeah,
so I'm not.
Yeah. One of the big poor throws for me was towards the end of the game. He had Keenan Allen in the end zone one-on-one with Trey Boston. He had him against a safety. Mm-hmm. And all he needs to do is put the ball to the sideline of the end zone, and Keenan Allen's going to come down with it. But he threw it towards the middle of the field. He basically threw it to Trey Boston. And Keenan Allen had to fight with him just for an incomplete pass. Like, you're throwing the ball that many times to Keenan Allen. At least put it in a position where he can where he's going to be have the advantage to it. Like, and that's the kind of stuff that kills me with him, with Josh Allen, with Cam Newton, with Lamar Jackson on the outside. Like, there's so many of these inconsistencies that they just rear their ugly heads. And these are pros. These are the best of the best. Like, I'm a nobody, 35-year-old with back spasms, and I still know where the right place to put a football is. Like,
that is, yeah.
It's frustrating. It's frustrating.
Yeah. So what about Burrow? I think Burrow looks pretty good. I think he looks very poised.
I would say that he very quickly gained the confidence of his teammates on the offensive side of the football. He has command on the field and already has gained the respect of his teammates. That's a huge step in 3 games as a rookie.
Yeah. And he has a
huge step.
And his line is terrible, and he's still playing pretty good.
Bad. Yeah. They should have won. They should have won in week 1, mm-hmm. but their kicker literally pulled a hammy as he's kicking the game-winning kick and misses it. Week 2, they had an opportunity to win it against the Browns in a shootout.
Yeah.
And they really should have beat the Eagles. They could have. They're literally like a play away from being 3-0 right now.
Yeah.
But instead, they're 0-2-1.
That's what I'm saying. I think he's – after watching this week, the Browns game, I was a little like –
what was that, 60 throws and he barely got 300
yeah,
yards?
Yeah, I was like – so I went back and watched it. And I was a little more impressed when I watched it. But then, like, this past week, he was great.
He seems to already have a very good understanding of the offense as a rookie 3 games into the season. So that's very impressive.
It's just his poise and pocket presence. You know, that was one of the things I loved in college, and it's followed him. And I don't know if you saw that play on Twitter when Zach Taylor's yelling at him, throw it away.
I didn't see that.
He's like spinning and like making all these plays. You know, because there's no fans. You hear Zach Taylor like, throw it away. and then he doesn't throw it away, but then he throws it downfield. It's like a 20-yard play down wide open. I'm like, I'm sure he just frustrates Zach Taylor. Like,
he got absolutely crushed. Did you see that hit he took?
No, I didn't see it.
Oh, man. He a very incredibly legal hit. I think it was Fletcher Cox. Okay. Just caught him with the shoulder right, like, in the collarbone area. Mm-hmm. And his, like, head didn't move, but the rest of his body did. Oh. And it's like, bro, what is your head still doing in that spot? It should be 20 yards that way with the rest of your body. Just loud. He just got sent to the earth like a comet.
It was just funny. This screaming, throw it away, throw it away, throw it away.
That's fantastic.
That's what I'm saying. That's what kind of player he is, right? And that's why I think the Bengals are going to be good. All right, Chris. Any matchups, anything? I mean, kind of matches this week.
I don't think that there's any big matchups this week. I think the biggest one is Rodgers and Matt Ryan.
Cam and Mahomes, right?
Cam and Mahomes. I'm going to be really interested to see how that plays out. Really interesting.
Cam didn't look good as a thrower last week, but then he looked good as a thrower against Seattle, and then
one of the worst defenses in the league.
Yeah, but they didn't even throw the football against Miami. what I'm scared about with the Patriots is they can do whatever the hell they want, which is scary.
That's Bill, man.
Don't sleep on Josh, bro.
He does come with that with that game all put in a nice little box to present to Bill.
He's the king adapter, bro. Like the Raiders came out and they made them go 3-and-out and have an interception on the first three possessions. What they did, so what did Josh McDaniel do? They stopped throwing the ball and they just ran crack tosses. And 250 yards later, it's 36-20. It's like, okay, fine, you guys. You know what? You guys want to stop Cam? How about you stop everybody else instead of just focusing on Cam? It was just
It was bad. I mean, that's gonna be an interesting. I'm excited to see what that's gonna look like. I'm excited to see if Bill can slow down Patrick. I'm curious to see what Cam is gonna be able to do against one of the better defenses so far in the league. Mm-hmm. But yeah, man, there's nothing special going on next week with quarterbacks, at least.
Not really. Not at all.
I don't think there's any games that are just like, oh, this is the one that you have to watch.
Exactly.
I don't think there's any games like that this week. It's just this is going to be a week where every team put 3 weeks in. The film's out there now. Are we going to see teams take it to the next level, or are we going to see defenses catch up to offenses? What's it going to look like here in week 4?
Yeah.
We're at the quarter mark of the century, quarter mark of the season.
Yeah.
So we're going to find out what kind of football we got here for the season. Here's our hashtag. We'll see. We just want to see what happens in week 4, Marcus.
We want to see what happens.
We want to see what happens.
Hashtag. We'll see.
Hashtag. We'll see.
Everybody, so like I said, we thank you for guys for listening. It's your first time listening. We really appreciate it. Hope you enjoyed the show. If it's your first time, definitely come back for more. We'll definitely give you a whole bunch of information, everything that we got. And follow me and Chris. Chris is at King Manelos on Twitter. I am at the Mark John NFL on Twitter. Make sure you follow us
the podcast.
The podcast itself. ALPA_QB1 on Twitter. That is ALPA_QB1 on Instagram as well. Just make sure if you have Facebook, go ahead, type in a little pocket awareness on Facebook. If you have iTunes, of course, subscribe to us. And if you have Spotify, go ahead and download that bad boy. All right. Chris, any last words?
I'm going to stick with it. Hashtag we'll see, Marcus. I want to see what week 4 looks like.
Hashtag we'll see. We'll see you guys later. Thank you.